This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Women's sports have seen rising television ratings over the last few years as their popularity hits all-time highs. Viewership of the WNBA was up nearly 70% last year, and over the summer, the Women's College Baseball Championship drew more viewers than an NHL playoff game played on the same day. Despite the growth, coaches, players, and fans of women's sports say they still can't find enough coverage of their teams and leagues, and sometimes the games themselves are hard to find on television. Jane McManus is the director of the Center for Sports Communication at Marist College and a former ESPN reporter who now writes a sports column at Deadspin. Jane, thanks a lot for joining us today. Jane, a new poll you conducted at Marist shows that a lot of sports fans want to see more coverage of women's sports. Can you tell us about the results you found? Nope, we don't have Jane there. I think I hear her in the background. In the meantime, I'll remind you, you can make a contribution to conversations, hopefully like this next one, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make a gift in support of everything you count on here on the Ideas Network. And if you have thoughts, do you think that there's not enough coverage of women's sports in the media? It's too hard to see the games. You can call our other number. That's the 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Are you a fan of a particular women's sports team, college or pro? Let us know, 800-642-1234. Or you can post over on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Are you an athlete yourself, women's athlete? Do you feel like your team is supported by your local community, your campus, and beyond? Do you want to see the pros in whatever your sport is on TV? Okay, I think we have our guest now. Jane, can you hear me?
I sure can. This is one of these great things about Zoom in the modern era is that occasionally things just don't work right.
Oh, we know that here. For sure. Well, Jane, I wanted to ask about that new poll now you have from Marist there, showing that a lot of sports fans say they want to see more coverage of women's sports. So what did you find?
Well, we found kind of that it depends on your age, and demographics definitely play a role in this, but particularly among younger fans, women, obviously, and people of color, that there really is a call for more coverage of women's sports, but also wanting to see more representation of women in roles such as coaches and managers in professional sports. So it was overwhelming among all sports fans, but particularly among those fans who are younger and women and people of color.
Now, in a column you wrote about your poll results, you pointed toward a disconnect between the fans who you say your poll show want to see women's sports on TV and more women, you know, announcers, commentators, and as you just said, coaches, and the people making decisions what to cover in the sports media world. What do you see on that end?
Right. Well, I think that the people who are in decision-making roles in major networks are often white men and older white men generally as well. That does change, and of course, it's not universal, but generally the decision-making is being done by the demographic that isn't as interested in seeing women's sports. I think fans over the last couple of years, we've really seen some trends, whether it's in ratings, whether it's in social media engagement with female athletes, whether it's women and men who are soccer fans lining the Canyon of Heroes in New York City and chanting equal pay as the U.S. women's soccer team takes its victory parade after winning the World Cup in 2019 in France, these are all pointing in the same direction, that there is an audience for women's sports, a greater audience than is necessarily seen by those network executives.
Is there some chicken and egg here where the popularity of women's sports might be more if it was broadcast more, but then broadcasters are going to say if women's sports were more popular, we'd broadcast them more?
Well, I think that's certainly been true in the past. That networks could always point to, we don't show the sports because people don't watch, except that now you do have social media, which is another metric and which is independent of the decisions that the networks make. So, for example, when you have Megan Rapinoe, who's a, you know, soccer player for the U.S. women's national team, and she has, you know, more followers than most men on social media, on Instagram. And when she is able to engage with an audience independent of that, or you know, certainly women in terms of as sports fans. The engagement level is very high on social media with the icons that they follow. So you have this independent metric, which is showing that more and more people want to engage with these athletes. And yet they have a hard time having games be broadcast. Certainly also a big thing that we see just anecdotally is that women's sports aren't necessarily discussed in the same way as men's sports are during sports programming on network TV. Like, so ESPN, for example, might have a show like First Take. And, you know, the U.S. women's national team, you know, they're generally going to come up. But some sort of like, you know, the latest women's basketball game might not come up. So there are a lot of sports and a lot of topics that kind of get left on the cutting room floor, not because there isn't the interest there, but that because they don't fit into or don't seem to fit into the regular stream of topics covered by some of those shows.
Talking to Jane McManus, director of the Center for Sports Communication at Marist College, looking at a growing popularity for many women's sports, but not a growing media exposure in terms of broadcast, for example, for a lot of those sports. In a recent poll from Marist College asking people what they thought about that. Do you see, Jane, anybody who you think is doing it right, making more room for women's sports in their sports broadcasts?
Certainly major networks have more space now than they did before, but it's been so incremental. I think what you are seeing is that there are now women in sports media, women who are athletes, who are kind of taking the reins. For example, there's a startup called Just Women Sports that got a lot of funding from Kevin Durant's group. So they're trying to cover women's sports the way that men's sports have been covered in the past, as seriously and as comprehensively. And I think you also see women who are, you know, athletes, you know, for example, you know, Sue Bird or Julie Foudy, Mia Hamm. These women are now in Elena Deladon are investing in other women's sports. Naomi Osaka and Serena Williams are another two who've invested in National Women's Soccer League teams over the last year. So I think what you have are women who've kind of firsthand seen how little coverage and attention that they get in the conventional sports media, kind of saying we need to find ways around these gatekeepers now. And they're doing that by investing in startups, you know, investing in the teams that actually play, and that's a way to try to kind of create a new ecosystem for coverage of women's sports.
Is there a generational impact here? I'm just thinking of, you know, the WNBA has been around long enough now that players playing now might have had the opportunity to see a game when they were younger. And the Mia Hamm World Cup team for women's soccer, the players playing now might have watched that World Cup victory. Is there a long-term payoff if people are seeing these sports, these women's sports on TV?
Sure. And a great way to look at that is, you know, it's been 50 years in June. It'll have been 50 years since the passage of Title IX. I was born in 1971, so that's a year before Title IX was passed. I kind of feel like my career trajectory, you know, when I started covering sports, I started covering sports in 1997. So that's the year that the WNBA launched. 2 years later, you had the Women's World Cup and the Rose Bowl. Filled the Rose Bowl, great TV ratings. And so I've kind of seen firsthand through the duration of my career a lot of these milestones. And I do think you do have some of that that happening now, where there's this kind of matriculation almost of these interests. It does take about a generation, and certainly more than that in some major men's sports leagues like the NFL and baseball and the NHL, for them to really gain traction. I mean, you know, people think of the NFL as something that started off as a monolith, but it really didn't. You know, it took a couple of generations to really invest in it. There were a lot of teams that moved around back then, and they're still doing that today, of course, but I mean, you really do kind of see that now you have these generational fans that are also really engaged by women's sports, but also for whom women's sports are really important part of the landscape. And I think this also may be part of it, is that, you know, women may not watch games necessarily in the same way that men do women's sports, but at the same time, the women who play and the idea of equity are incredibly important to them. And so they are invested in women's sports and in the women that they follow, but it may not be in exactly the same way that men have invested in men's sports over the years.
Jane, in the past, I've talked to women who work as sports reporters about some of the toxic atmosphere of working in sports reporting from a certain group of men, male sports fans, really just nasty response to them. Do you think in the sports world, in the sports broadcasting world, there's a fear of that community that if we do more focus on women's sports, we're going to get this backlash from somebody who's like it or not part of our core audience here?
Oh, 100%. And I think, you know, you have to remember that a huge part of this is advertising. Who is it that network? How do networks make money? They make money off of running ads and advertising to specific concentrated audiences of men. And I think this has been really part of the reason it's been so hard for women's sports to break in, because women's sports, they attract more men than women in your average sports audience. At the same time, though, it dilutes the audience of men. So what ads are you selling? And this is something that I saw firsthand when I worked at ESPN. What ads are you going to be selling to that audience? And so not only is it that you don't want to alienate the men that you are selling, whose eyeballs you are selling to the advertisers. And I think you're exactly right that has been a big part of it. You know, there is a lot of the forces that keep women's sports from being taken seriously are often the forces that have affected women in sports media. So there is the misogyny. There's this, you know, the hegemonic masculinity that kind of is part of the decision-making process. And, you know, that is definitely something that women's sports have had to fight against, you know, and have kept them from some of the coverage and the audience that they could have been connecting with all this time.
Jane, as we wrap up, in the next couple of years, what kind of dominoes are you hoping to see fall to get more women's sports in easily accessible broadcast platforms?
Well, I think what you're going to see is that this is an audience that is monetizable, the audience for women's sports. So somebody is going to be taking advantage of that. It may not be the traditional players in sports media, but you're going to have, you know, some people are going to try to figure out, okay, how is it that women are watching and consuming sports differently? And how can we cater to them as a fan base, as opposed to just trying to reform, you know, put the formula for men's sports on top of that sport? And I think you're going to have people actually taking a crack at it. I think you look at Gatorade and, you know, giving a name, image, and likeness contract to Paige Bueckers, who's a young women's basketball player. And, you know, this is the most expensive deal that Gatorade has made in this space. And going for a woman in the college space in order to be able to make this statement. I think you see more and more advertisers. You look at Victoria's Secret coming to Megan Rapinoe and making her a spokesperson. And I think you see more and more companies don't want to be left behind because they see what's trending. The audience for women's sports is growing, while the audience for many men's sports, traditional men's sports, particularly baseball, are shrinking and graying. So I think if you look into the future, a lot of smart advertisers are looking and thinking that women's sports is a great way to invest their advertising dollars.
Jane, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime. Enjoyed the conversation.
That's Jane McManus, sports columnist and director of the Center for Sports Communication at Marist College. She joins us for a look at women's sports and calls for more coverage in the sports media world.